Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. The Wisconsin Women in Government Organization hosts their annual leadership summit next week in Madison in partnership with the La Follette School of Public Affairs, hoping to support the next wave of women leaders in Wisconsin. Despite comprising 50% of the population, though, women hold fewer than a third of state legislative seats and even fewer local offices. Here to discuss the leadership summit and other issues impacting women are Professor Susan Yockey of the La Follette School of Public Affairs and Amanda Graham, the president of Wisconsin Women in Government. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So Amanda, first question for you. I hear the Leadership Summit has been around for two decades now. That's quite incredible. Why is it still so important?
Yeah, we've been able to offer the leadership seminar, like you mentioned, for quite a few years now. But the programming really is centered around giving women and providing women tools in which to better succeed and develop their careers, which is obviously still important. I believe it gives women a safe space to share their experiences and think critically about where they want their future goals and careers to land. And we've been very thankful that we've had such a trusted partner with La Follette School to help provide some of that curriculum. So
Professor Yockey, when we look at some of those statistics, why has the growth of women in elected positions, government positions, been so slow? Are we making some progress?
Well, we are making some progress. So you mentioned some statistics on our women in state legislatures, and the Wisconsin Policy Forum just put out a report saying that in 2021, Wisconsin women held 31% of the seats in the Wisconsin legislature, which was the most in state history. So we are making some progress. And we can see it in other areas too. So for instance, my area of expertise is really looking at bureaucratic agencies. So thinking about government agencies and how they interact with other policymakers like governors or legislators. And we can see tremendous growth in women representation when we look at the leaders of state agencies as well. So I have this amazing data set that goes back to the 1960s and look and asks state agency leaders about their perceptions and attitudes and understandings of their jobs. And we can track back to 1964, essentially there were no women participants because there were no women agency leaders or almost no women agency leaders in 1964. But by the most recent implementation of the survey in 2018, about 35% of agency leaders were women. So that is tremendous growth across time, but it's not parity with our 50% of society.
But you're saying we're getting there. So we do have a slide that outlines that change in the state legislature over time, showing us that, like you mentioned, there has been a record in the number of women serving in the Wisconsin legislature. Also of interest, we've elected our first Asian American state legislator. There's also been an increase in Democratic women elected. Still, as we mentioned, not reaching that 50% mark. Professor Yockey, what do we know about why women maybe don't seek elected office or other government positions to the same degree that men do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we know that there are some barriers for women seeking higher office. There could be some general personality traits amongst women, so the general notion that kind of ambition is not necessarily a positive characteristic in females, but it's more positive in males. That's undoubtedly related to putting yourself out there as a candidate for public office. We know there's some other societal barriers as well. For instance, tomorrow, the La Follette School is hosting a major summit on childcare issues for the Wisconsin State Legislature, bringing together some of the top researchers in the world to talk about this critical issue for women and for families. Right? But really for women, we know that if childcare, which it has been during this pandemic, is a major barrier, that women are just going to seek office less, but also, just seek professional work at a much lower level than if childcare is not an issue.
So one of many barriers, it sounds like. You know, Amanda, as president of Wisconsin Women in Government, you said you, which I understand it's affectionately known also as WIG. You told me that you joined the board about 5 years ago, and you're joining us today from your job in government in the state legislature. What has it been like for you being a woman working in government and in the legislature?
Yeah. Growing up, I never really pictured myself working in politics or in government in general. And I think a lot of that is, you know, not being, you know, not seeing kind of those examples right away. But now that I am here, I am so thankful for the resources and examples that WIG has been able to connect me with through networking, some of our board committees. I think WIG is really good at kind of pushing you out of some of your boundaries and helping you develop and grow skills that maybe you would not get in your professional career. Like, I've been able to work as the treasurer for WIG, which in effect, I've been able to learn skills about finances and accounting and nonprofit management and things that maybe I would not have been exposed to in my current job.
So, Amanda, are you saying that WIG really kind of helps to round out women? Maybe when there aren't a lot of mentors actually in your workplace, it helps you to kind of gain some of those skills you might otherwise not be have experience.
Yeah, and I think WIG specifically has a wide variety of the people who are involved. We have local people, we have, you know, federal women involved. So you can really see a wide spectrum. You know, some of them come from the DNR, some of them come from DOJ, and we're all able to kind of come together and talk about issues and things that are important to each and every one of us, you know, regardless of where we work, and, you know, help each other develop. So
Professor Yaki, let's talk a little bit about the agenda for the leadership seminar. What really is the focus this year? Are there some key topics that participants will be listening to?
Absolutely. And it's going to be a very interactive leadership training seminar, and, you know, very focused on exec ed. These are oftentimes kind of mid-career women who we want to give skills to take it to the next level. That's really kind of our footing when we come into the curriculum building for the partnership with WIG. So some of the topics that we're going to cover are very theoretical, and they should be, right? So women need to think about what are some of the big picture thinking behind topics like leading and managing public sector organizations? And what are some of the unique challenges to public sector organizations and nonprofit organizations versus private sector organizations? So we'll spend some time both thinking about some of the big theoretical topics, as well as applying some of those in a hands-on case study that we'll walk through. And one of the neat things about the interactive work, the kind of small group work, the case study work during the leadership seminar is that there's women talking to women, and they have all these different experiences. And Amanda talked a little bit about the breadth of, you know, the agencies and the different kinds of women that are represented in the leadership seminar. We want to take advantage of that, to kind of apply that learning, apply that experience to the theoretical concepts. But there's some other pieces, too. We have a wonderful panel of women, four different women who are going to be presenting their professional experiences. That's a key part of the seminar. And this year, we're spending a big chunk of time talking about kind of just women's issues generally, kind of gender and politics and how that impacts women, especially in the public sector, as well as a new segment that's focused on some of the structural issues attached to kind of race and inequality in the United States. And how does that intersect with women in government?
Amanda, what are goals for WIG? What kind of outcomes do you hope those leadership seminar participants have?
Yeah, we really just hope to empower these women to make them feel like they have the skills necessary to take that next step in their careers. I've heard from a few past participants, one who's actually still a board member, that she was, you know, going through some of her leadership seminar information that she did 10 years ago and had just been appointed to her dream position that she had outlined during her leadership seminar. So through that networking and, you know, providing areas for her to work on and, you know, next steps for her, she was able to achieve those goals that she set out. And I think that's the ultimate goal for what we would like to see coming out of this, is just empowering those women to feel like they're able to attain those positions and create a path forward.
Professor Yaki, you mentioned the race and equality track in this year's seminar agenda. And I know we had talked before the show that that really has kind of a renewed and important focus in the seminar this year. What are some of the reasons for that? Was that something that women were asking for and an important, in light of current events, kind of an important issue for women to be discussing?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. So past seminars have had some content on this topic, but I think, you know, society and our current times show that some of the skills attached to diversity, equity, and inclusion are going to be important for women mid-level managers to take it to the next level. You know, understanding their environment, understanding some of the findings, the statistics, some of the background on these important topics. And I'm really thrilled that one of my new colleagues at the LaFollette School, Assistant Professor Denia Garcia, is going to be leading that particular segment of WIG. She's new to WIG. She's new to Madison, but she's new to WIG as well. She's fabulous. She teaches wonderful classes from a sociological lens for the university, for the LaFollette School, on race and public policy. And she's going to bring some of that content expertise, especially some of her work in kind of the political neighborhoods in Chicago, where she's done some really fascinating research thinking about mobilization amongst diverse populations in Chicago.
What do we know about the differences for women of color who are seeking leadership and other roles in government? Are some things different? I believe that was a question in the LaFollette policy poll as well.
Yeah, we know a number of things about, you know, number of differences amongst gender and, as well as race. And Lisa, you mentioned the LaFollette School's policy poll. So let me just say a couple words about it. So over this past year, the LaFollette School has been in partnership with the UW Survey Center to send out this huge survey to all Wisconsinites. So, a sample of Wisconsinites. So we sent a survey to 5,000 Wisconsinites. We had about a 33% response rate, which is, if you know anything about survey research, fabulous. And what that tells us is what are some of the top policy issues that Wisconsinites care about? And because we had such a large number of respondents, we're able to break that up in a bunch of different ways, right? Including across gender. You know, so some of our big findings were that in particular on gender, women outpace the degree of concern for a number of different policy issues than their male counterparts in Wisconsin. So here in particular, women in Wisconsin think that healthcare, the environment, in particular climate change, income inequality, race relations, they all believe that those are much more important issues than males in Wisconsin. And you know, that's just really fascinating. So it turns out on all issues, women are more concerned, but on those issues in particular, the differences are quite large. And I think they show to some degree that women are, you know, really focused on some of these issues, including, you mentioned, race relations, which is a topic that really stood out in these gender differences.
Amanda, when you look at some of these issues that seem to be a priority for women, you and I had talked before the program, healthcare, education. Why do you think it is that women have these heightened areas of concern?
Yeah, I think we had, you know, talked about healthcare specifically. You know, there are just some instances where women interact with these systems more and they have different experiences with them than their male counterparts, which, you know, in turn, has them to be more involved with them. You know, women have different life experiences and different perspectives, and I think that's why WIG thinks it's really important that, you know, our our opinions are brought to the table. WIG is actually pretty unique in terms of issues. We don't actually take stances on specific issues, but we do really just try and give women the tools they need to best advocate for the issues that they care about. So we've done kind of budget 101s and other programming about how they can best advocate for those issues that they care about and give them the steps to, you know, be more involved in that sense.
Amanda, in your current role in a government position, why do you think it's important for women voices to be at the table for some of these issues and maybe others, you know, including healthcare, education? What different perspective does a woman maybe bring that you've seen?
Yeah, well, especially for like childcare at this point, like during COVID, you know, a lot of those issues do fall on women, and especially if they're from you know, a single parent household. Like I mentioned, just different experiences with these systems in general. And, you know, sometimes the burden does lie on women more heavily in some of these areas. And that's why they, you know, in turn would be so interested in advocating for those issues.
Professor Yaki, what do we know about how the pandemic has impacted women differently? Is that something that is important for women leaders to bring to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're spot on to ask about the pandemic. I mean, it is, women have been, you know, disproportionately experiencing job loss during the pandemic. I mean, it's actually true that workforce participation among women is about the lowest it's been since 1991. You know, that's incredible. That's an incredible shift. Now, it is beginning to turn around a little bit, but this does continue to be unequal across different types of women. So, for instance, Black women who tend to be more often employed in low-paying service sector jobs that may have little benefits or sick leave continue to leave the workforce at a really high rate. And I'll point out one other, you know, we already talked about childcare. Wow. I mean, that's a big change during the pandemic, as well as, you know, people not in a childcare situation, but in kind of a K through 12 situation who are, you know, had, you know, pandemic at home learning, which disproportionately affected women. But I'll mention another, which doesn't get talked about as much. And that is, you know, women who experienced financial hardship during the pandemic were three times more likely to experience domestic abuse during that same time period. The lockdowns really had the unintended consequence of worsening domestic violence for women. And, you know, some people are starting to call this a shadow pandemic. So this is some content. I have this wonderful new colleague, assistant professor, Dr. Mariel Barnes, who will be presenting at WIG at our leadership training seminar. And this is her expertise, is going to think about some of the policy shifts and the attached implications for women, like domestic abuse, that are attached to policy changes that occur at either the national level or the state level.
One big issue people talk about when it comes to women is the gender pay gap. You mentioned work and the pandemic's impact on women in the workplace, but that gender pay gap has been pretty consistent. I think the latest U.S. Census data shows women make about 30% less than men. How can more women in government and leadership positions make a difference in that particular area?
I'll start with that one, and Amanda, please add in. You know, one of the things that is somewhat positive about conversations about the pay gap in the public sector is the degree to which there's some transparency in public sector salary data, where there's not necessarily that same kind of transparency in the private sector. So for instance, I mentioned this big survey that I've been part of state agency leaders across time. And some of my past research associates, this is not research I completed, but some of my past research associates have looked at pay differences for women leaders in comparable positions and did find that those pay differences have equilibrated across time when it's a comparable position And in particular, when those data are public, right? So we have a little bit more leverage as women to point out those differences and to really demand equity across them when we have transparent information. So that's certainly the pay gap still exists, but there is a difference in public sector participation in some ways that is advantageous, at least for dealing with this particular issue.
When people think about politics, they often think about partisanship and inability to reach compromise and agreement. And that's certainly been a theme in Wisconsin recently. Amanda, do you think that events like the Leadership Summit and other support specifically for women actually support improvement in bipartisan relationships?
Yes, definitely. WIG is a bipartisan organization, and everything that we do, we try and keep it balanced. So if we have, a Republican speaker, we also make sure to have a Democrat speaker. But I do believe that things like the leadership seminar really get to kind of humanize people in a way where you realize, oh, we are all facing some of the same similar issues, or, oh, I would like to achieve that as well. And just kind of talking through, where you'd like to see yourself improve, and just kind of getting to know these people on a level that's a little bit deeper than maybe you would interact with them in person. So I think a lot of, WIG's networking, speed mentoring, the leadership seminar provides women the opportunity to work with people that they might not normally. I know that we have board members across the spectrum, and some of them are my best friends right now. And I had maybe never would have interacted with them in my professional setting or to the level that I have. But I really do believe that creating those relationships is helpful.
The La Follette policy poll that we've been talking a little bit about shows kind of the how and where women across Wisconsin participate in the political process. We have a slide showing that women are generally more active than men in many areas, from everything from signing petitions, attending local meetings, contacting officials, absentee ballot. And women seem to be becoming more politically involved over time. Professor Yockey, do you think that this could lead to or shows an increase in engagement that might also lead to more women seeking government roles?
Well, I certainly hope it does. I mean, one of the things that I'd love to piggyback on from what Amanda said is the bipartisan nature of both all of our programming at the La Follette School, but in particular, the WIG Leadership Training Seminar. It's so important. One of the things that we have heard across the 20 times that we have implemented the leadership training seminar across time is, we always do a big evaluation of, how can we make the content better next time, right? That's, part of who we are at the La Follette School is, that kind of continuous improvement. And one of the things that we hear frequently is we get more networking, more opportunity to talk to each other, more. And why is that so important? Well, especially for women who haven't always had those opportunities to, go out on the golf course with the male buddies. We know that to take it to the next level, we need to know people. We need to have personal relationships with them. And women need to be able to recreate that as well. So I think this kind of groundswell of women participating that we're seeing in the La Follette School's policy poll, as well as this sort of seminar series dedicated to WIG, both provide some evidence that we want to see increased networking opportunities for women in the political space. And hopefully that will translate into more elected offices, as well as unelected offices for agency leaders.
One area of exciting progress that I think we are for sure documenting is in 2021, an increase in women in local elected office. The data that I'm seeing is that women in 2021 held 24% of county board seats, and that's up from 19%, the first increase since 2005. Amanda, what would you say about the importance of women serving at local government positions and levels?
Yeah, I mean, me, myself, working in state government can really see the importance of local government because a lot of the times, you know, we're creating programs where we're leaving a lot of the detail work to some of the local officials to be implementing that. And I do really think that if you look at the trajectory of a lot of people in state government or in federal government, they had started off in their school boards and have gone to county governments. I know, like my boss in particular had started off on, you know, hospital boards and then went to school boards. And so I really think local government is usually where that starts. And so I think it's a really good springboard for, you know, women to go into future leadership positions.
Professor Yaki, any comment on women in local elected offices?
Yeah, I mean, here's the one note of caution I think I would share, and that is that we are, while we have seen some increase, or we're not toward parity, we're also seeing a nationalization and, you know, an increasing polarization for local and county elections in ways that we never have in the past regarding kind of those kind of localized policy topics. And, you know, if, you know, that may stall somewhat the degree to which women want to get involved with those spaces, you know, the kind of, you know, traditional notion of kind of compromise and kind of working on issues that we can kind of see some progress on together, maybe stalled a bit by that kind of nationalization of local and county issues. Let's hope it's not.
You and I talked a little bit, Professor Yaki, before the interview about the state Supreme Court. That certainly is kind of a victory when it comes to women leadership, would you say?
Yeah, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Yeah, so, you know, thinking about having role models at all layers of government, right? So, you know, one of the things that we do know about representation in our democracy is that, you know, you got to see people like yourself in some of these leadership roles to think about achieving those leadership roles in the future. And so it's really for our young women. It's for our college age women who want to make a difference, to our mid-level managers who want to take it to the next level, to see examples of high-level women in these important positions, to make sure that they realize that they could do it too.
So as we round out our time together, Amanda, I'm wondering what you hope are those ultimate outcomes for participants in next week's leadership seminar.
Yeah, I really just hope that people are open to those conversations, especially with networking and that sort of thing, just thinking critically about where they would like to see themselves looking forward, supporting each other, developing those skills necessary to take that next step. And then, you know, ultimately making those career moves, like I had mentioned with one of our previous board members, of, you know, finding that confidence to kind of push yourself to the next level.
Professor Yaki, what do you think is possible for women in leadership roles in government over the next 5 years?
Well, a lot, right? And that, you know, it starts with places like WIG, right? Because, you know, you're not going to be appointed to, you know, a secretary level position without significant experience, right? With either in the public sector or in the private sector. And so these kind of programs, these kind of, you know, leadership training seminar programs that make people think critically. So both theoretically, you know, like, you know, how does theory apply in these cases and how does it apply to my particular circumstance, you know, paired with the kind of networking opportunities that are a hallmark of WIG, which is, you know, this fabulous volunteer organization here in Wisconsin. I think that's what it's going to take to move Wisconsin women to the next level.
And Amanda, what do you hope for women leaders in the state legislature and throughout Wisconsin within 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about the numbers, and obviously we just want to continue to move kind of towards that parity and just moving to continue to keep women confident in what they're doing and creating those role models for future women to take that next step.
All right. Let that be the last word here. I thank you both for joining us, and good luck on the seminar next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again and watch as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference in our state and for all of us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.